You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
What does a life set apart for God's purposes look like? Discover more in week 3 of our series, Forward.
All right, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Just give a high five to your seatmate. I'm so glad you could make it tonight. Now today, we're down to the third installment of our series, Forward. And now if you're new here, you just got invited. This series is all about having a better grasp of the qualities of a disciple. When I say disciple, someone who follows in Jesus or believes in Jesus and does the things that Jesus commanded us to do. That's a disciple, someone who follows Jesus. So that being said, what are these qualities? This is our third installment and we tackled two previous installments already. Firstly, we talked about spiritual disciplines. Now, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, we are to have spiritual disciplines. We are to make time to read our Bibles, to worship, to pray, all those things for us to grow. Last week, we talked about essential doctrines, that we need to have the right kind of framework, the right kind of doctrines, so that we will have the right kind of perspective towards God and towards Jesus. This week naman, we're going to look into life change. Can you tell your seatmate, life change? Life change, okay? A changed life. One other quality or a mark of a true believer or a follower of Jesus is a changed life. That there is a difference between what your life was before you met Christ and now that you are in Christ. Say, for example, the Apostle Peter. And this series, by the way, will be looking into closely as well, the account or the life of Peter. In fact, we're going to be reading from the verses from the book of 1 Peter. Now, Peter, if you read your Bible, if you know this guy, yes, he is one of the founding fathers of the church, the early church, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, all that. He seems like a pretty great guy. But Peter, for all that he was able to do, Peter is not without fault. Peter is not without his mistakes or blunders. If you look at the life of Peter, he had several mistakes and blunders. For one, he was very impulsive. He's more of the act now, think later kind of person. Do you have friends like that, ba? Peter is kind of like that. Act now, think later. He's kind of impulsive. At one point, he cut off an ear of a soldier. The soldier was trying to capture Jesus or imprison Jesus. Another time as well was when he denied Jesus 3 times. When Jesus was captured, he was about to be crucified later on. When people started associating that, hey, aren't you a disciple of Jesus? He denied it and said, I don't know these people. I don't know who Jesus is. He denied Jesus 3 times. And there are many other more blunders that Peter did. But amazingly, the same Peter who was afraid to acknowledge Jesus in front of people, the same Peter who was impulsive, who was reckless, who had small faith at certain points in his life, that same Peter had a radical transformation, had a radical life change later on in his life. And the same thing with us. If you're here, you are a believer, you are a follower of Jesus, life change is something that is, it's part of the package of being a Christian. We cannot say na, kung kinsa ta before we met Jesus, same ragyahapon ta. We all encounter, have life change. All of us. And if you're new here, you just get invited, life change is also for you. Life change is not just for Peter. And if you look at the life of Peter, interestingly enough, while he was still with Jesus, even Jesus was there presently with him, he had several blunders. He was not perfect, or he did not become the great man of faith, or he did not become the great church father while he was still with Jesus. Even when he was with Jesus, Peter had several mistakes and blunders. And what's my point in sharing that? My point is that when we talk about life change, firstly, change is a process. It's a process. This is something that doesn't happen overnight lang and it ends overnight. This isn't just a one-time thing lang. When we talk about life change, yes, there is that instantaneous one-time change when you had an encounter with Jesus for the first time. But after that, throughout your life, as you walk in Christ, as you move forward walking in Christ, you will have several changes in your life, several transformations or changes in your life. And that the more you walk in Christ, the more you change. It is a process. Tell your seatmate, it is a process. It is a process. Not just that, but if you look at the life of Peter, change is a process and change is possible. Tell your seatmate, possible. That for all of us here today, if ever you thought that, man, I want to have a fresh start. I want to have a new lease in life. Gaan ko magbagong buhay. I mean, all of us here today, at one point in life, we've thought of that. New Year's Eve. Diba? Mga mag-New Year's resolution, diba? We want to have a fresh start. For the students, if you're a student here, pag bagong school year, diba? This time, I'm gonna study hard. This time, I'm not gonna be late. Mapasa na ako project on time. Or if you're working, I'm gonna give it all sa work na ako. if you have a new job or a new career, we all have moments in our lives now we want a fresh start. We want a change. What I want you to remind us that change is possible. Life change is possible. As we've just looked at briefly the example of Peter, nga inanay siya before, katong reckless, impulsive, fearful. But after that, he changed to become the church father, Peter. Okay, and how did that happen? What does it mean to have a life change in Christ? What does it mean when we say life change in Christ? Not just any kind of life change, but a life change in Christ. What does it mean? And that's what we're going to tackle here tonight as we talk about life change. What does it mean when we say we have life change in Christ? What does it look like? Okay, if you're here, you're a disciple, you're a believer. How do you know that, man, this is the kind of life change that we want to happen in our lives? That's what we're going to tackle here today. And if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn them to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Verse 13 says there, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Life change. So we just read a while ago of some verses from 1 Peter. Now before we get to what life change looks like, what life change in Christ looks like, I'm going to be sharing three simple points for all of us here today. But before that, before we tackle those points, a very important question as well that we need to tackle on. And that is, what is the end goal of life change? Since we want to understand what it looks like, we also need to know as well, have better grasp, what is the end goal of this life change in Christ? What's the end goal? What's the end result? Whenever something changes, there's always a purpose to what it's going to look like. If ever you were a kid, used to play this toy right here, Play-Doh. Anyone used to play Play-Doh? Or katong cheaper version ka clay, katong taas mo bareta. Nakatayo ba na kang suguan mo sa teacher niyo before, na project, yung sa itong bareta nga lapad gayo. Okay, whether it's Play-Doh or that kind of clay, you're gonna take a piece, form it. You always have a goal in mind. You don't just take clay and, you know, wala kay ganahan may tabo nga mo form siya. You have an end goal. Whether you're gonna form a person, an animal, a car, or an airplane, whatever. When you take something, you wanna mold it or transform it to something, you have an end goal or result in mind. And the same thing with this life change. Before we get into what it looks like, before we get to more of that, we need to first determine or be in the same page. Now, this life change that we're talking about here today, the end result, the end goal, is to become more like Christ. Christ-likeness. Tell your seatmate, Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. It's not to become the perfect Victory Dumaguete member. The end goal is not to become just like my Victory Group leader or just like my disciple, the one who did one-to-one with me, or to become our pastor or like Pastor Keen over here. The end goal is to become as close as possible, to become like Jesus, to become Christ-like. To the degree that there's something in us that isn't Christ-like, may it be our speech, our conduct, our thoughts, anything in us that isn't Christ-like, then that needs to change. Our end goal is Christ-likeness, not the perfect church member. I'm not saying you can't learn great things from those people. Yes, of course, you can learn great things from your Victory Group leader, your one-to-one discipler, your leaders, your pastors. You learn great things from them, and you can follow great things from them. But the end of the day, this life change that we are pursuing, that we want to happen in our lives, is to become more like Jesus. Kaya nga, life change in Christ siya. And again, to the degree that there's something in us, even if 0.9% lang na siya, nga dili like Christ, then we need to change. Okay? This life change, it does not end instantly lang. This will not end when you graduate from school, when you finish work, when you retire. This kind of life change only ends the moment we die. Transformation or life change ends up until we die, up until we meet Jesus once again. That's the time it dies. Kaya lifetime ni siya nga change. Tell your seatmate, it's gonna take a lifetime. Now, let's get to what life change looks like. Firstly, life change begins with a disposition of the mind. Okay, it begins with the mind, the disposition. When you say disposition, it means the perception, the worldview, the how your mind is, the status of your mind. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, twice there, it gives mention to the mind. It says there, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded." In one verse, it mentions twice the importance of the mind. Firstly, it says, preparing your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. When I hear that statement, it's kind of like, anyone here, you're fond of superhero movies? Marvel or DC? Any kind of superhero movies? Or Captain Barbell na lang ba? But if you're fond of superhero movies, if you've noticed, there's always that scene in a superhero movie where the superhero suits up, is about to go, get into action, it's got about to fight the villain or rescue someone. Na suit up scenario nga mag-usar sa suit niya or whatever contraption na niya, okay? It's gonna suit up, ready for action. The same thing here, this verse tells us that we are to prepare our minds na it's ready for action. Our minds has to be ready. Dili lang siya kanang nakatambay lang ang minds na to. Naka-sleep mode, okay? Diba, sa mga laptops, mga PC na to, natin sleep mode or hibernate mode, wherever, diba? Naka-standby lang siya. Our minds shouldn't be like that. It has to be always prepared and ready for action. Another way to visualize, it's kind of like if you look at some of those old castles or if you look at medieval films, movies, you'll see that in the certain parts of the castle, there's what they call a lookout or a watchman. A job of the lookout or a watchman is to, of course, be the lookout. Look out for whatever danger or whatever something might try to attack the castle, whatever might try to attack the inhabitants of the place. 24/7, there is a watchman, a lookout, looking over the horizon, keeping guard to make sure na walay mo atake, walay mo attack nila, walay mo destroy nila. And the same thing with us, with that picture in mind, we are to have that in our minds. That our minds are ready for action, our minds are guarded. Many of us here today are familiar with the term, guard your hearts, di ba? I believe you've heard of that term, guard your hearts, okay? Especially pagkabay love life, di ba? Guard your hearts, dili lang masikinsa lang, okay? Guard your hearts. But equally important as well is for us to guard our minds. Okay, it says there, make sure your minds are prepared for action. In fact, in some versions, in the King James Version, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, the same verse, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what does that mean ba? Because we don't normally use this kind of English every day. What does it mean to gird up your loins? In the olden times, in their time, in ancient Israel times, when they say gird up your loins, it means kind of like this. I have this picture of a step-by-step way on how to gird up your loins. On the right side of the screen, you have there a guy wearing a tunic, normal attire of their time. Ang usual attire sa mga men, it's not a dress, although it looked like one, okay, but it's called a tunic. Okay, it's a typical attire for men that time. Then you can use it casually, usual way. You can eat, walk, travel, hang out with your friends with it, do the usual stuff. But the one thing you can't do while wearing that simple attire is fight with it. You cannot go into action, go into battle with it. And that is why they had to gird up their loins. What do you mean gird it up? More detailed here. They would take the extra cloth and do something with it, baato nila, to the point that it would give them more mobility. To gird up their loins would be meaning if danger happens, if an attack happens, and wala sila naka army attire or something like that, they would have to gird up their loins, okay? Tie it, just like what this guy is doing right here. Tie it a certain way so that he can move more freely and engage the enemy. So what we have here is the same thing. When it says there, gird up your loins or prepare your minds for action, it is to make sure our minds are guarded, ready for any incoming attack. Now, why is that important? Ano man, why do we need to guard our minds? Because church, our minds are a battlefield. Your mind is a battlefield. Every day, 24/7, it is a battlefield because the enemy knows that the way that he's going to get into you and use you, plant lies in your head, manipulate you and control us and do things with us is through our minds. Kaya we need to guard our minds. The enemy knows that the way to get into us, to plot those lies, to tempt us, is through our minds. Kaya we need to be guarded with our minds. Like, guard your loins or guard your minds. Meaning, you have to ready your mind for fighting. If you ever thought that, man, what's wrong with just one simple thought? What if, you know, so what? If makalusot ang enemy, what if the devil plants one simple thing in my mind? You know what? One simple thought could have major consequences. It only takes one thought to compromise, one thought to do something that you're going to regret. It only takes one simple thought, one simple lie from the enemy to make you feel like you're useless, to make you feel that you're not much. Anyone here, you ever felt before unloved, unworthy, unimportant? You felt, I'm just like this lang? If you ever had that moment and self-pity ka sa life nimo, don't raise your hands lang. For any of us here today, you've ever had that moment and self-pity ka. You've looked down on yourself. You've compared yourself to others. You know what? Those thoughts, they're not from God. The enemy knows that to win over you, he's going to attack your mind. Get 24/7, the enemy is like throwing lies, throwing poisonous arrows at your mind. Kaya we need to be sure that our minds are guarded, our minds are protected. We need to watch out for what we feed in our minds. And how do we do that? How do we watch out or be careful what we feed in our minds? Firstly, we need to be careful what we look, what we see, okay, what we hear. We need to be careful what goes into our minds through our senses. We need to watch out for those things, just like a lookout. Na careful ginalantaw. Prepare your minds for action, church. In any war scenario, okay, intelligence is really important. One of the ways that an enemy would win over an opposing army was for them to capture the command center. The command center is where the orders of the generals would be given from. That's where the leaders of the army is located. So for any army to capture the command center, it's game over for the opposing army. The same thing with us. The command center now, though, it's our mind. Anyone here, you can just do something without thinking. Without your mind, you can live without your mind. But none of us. We need our minds to do stuff, to think, to act, to decide. And to some extent, the enemy is trying to get a hold of it as much as he can. He's trying to get territory as much as he can. Man, mauna ko ng utok ang tawhana ni. Sige lang, I'm gonna throw lies, I'm gonna do stuff. And we need to watch out for the church because the enemy steals, kills, destroys. He's a master trickster and deceiver. The enemy is a deceiver. Remember the story in the fall of Adam and Eve. Eve just had a conversation. Simple lang. But because she wasn't able to guard her mind, she was tempted and she ate the forbidden fruit. As simple as that. The same thing with us. We need to make sure our minds are guarded so that we will not fall into temptations. We will not compromise. Guard your minds, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 even says, take every thought captive to obey Christ. Whatever it is that they're thinking, whatever those thoughts are, take captive, take it, and make it obedient to Christ. Now, these thoughts that I'm thinking, wait, kaning ginahuna-huna na ako? What does God have to say about these thoughts? We may have certain thoughts, and you know what the good thing is? The Bible says, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Kaya nga, importante ang spiritual disciplines na to. That's why we had in the first installment. We may think that we know what we're doing sometimes, and sometimes we feel like we know what's best, but reality is God knows what's best for us. We need to take those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Take those thoughts and make them submit to Christ, submit to the will of Jesus. Amen. Lord, what do you think about these thoughts? Whenever those thoughts come into your minds, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Romans 12 verse 2 also says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed. Life change starts by the disposition, by the change that you have in your mind, a renewal of your mind. For example, in your gadgets, in your laptops, PCs. But sometimes every now and then, pag slow na kayo siya, when there are so many viruses, what do we do with it? But we reformat it, diba? We clean it. We delete whatever is inside it. We renew it. In some ways, mo siya renew mo siya when you reformat it. You make it new ang inside. The same thing with our minds, okay? Our minds have to be renewed. Whatever is in there, if it's not under the will of God, if it's not right, whatever those thoughts are, if it's not pleasing to God, then it has to change. It has to get out. It has to be renewed. That's why our minds have to be renewed constantly. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Secondly, it also says there, going to verse 13 again, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Tell your seatmate, sober-minded. Sober-minded literally simply means not drunk. Okay, dili hubog, okay? Sober-minded, not drunk. And to be sober-minded also means to think clearly and reasonably amidst a circumstance. To think clearly, being clear-headed and reasonably. In other words, the Bible tells us that just as we are to be ready for action and we are to guard our minds from any wrong thoughts, any lies from the enemy, we also have to be clear and sound of mind. We need to be sober-minded so that we can be clear and sound of mind, so that we can decide things right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. What does that mean? Before we met Jesus, we did things differently, di ba? Lahi atong ganahan na to. It says here, do not be conformed by the passions of your former ignorance. we had different cravings, different things that we longed to do before we met Jesus. But now that we've met Jesus, now that we are in Christ, our passions, our appetites should change as well. And part of that is that we need to have a clear mind so we can decide right, so we can live righteously, live right as well. Let me throw this question to everyone as well, okay? Let's say I'm going to ask this question to all of us, but you don't have to answer naman. If I'm going to ask you to think some of those regrets that you have in the past, okay? Just think through some of those regrets. Mga top of the head lang mga feeling niyo. One of those regrets that you can think of sa past ninyo. Wouldn't it be na most or many of those regrets are times na you weren't able to think through clearly. Times na you were impulsive. Times na you were not clear-headed or you didn't have the clear judgment. Times na you were not sober-minded. Di ba? A lot of times, our regrets are like that. For example, when you buy something impulsively, na wala kay budget pero ganan kang palit gihapon. When you enter into a wrong relationship, you know you shouldn't, but feelings led you to do something, and so many other things. So many other regrets because our minds were not sober-minded. The Bible says we are to be sober-minded. For us to have this changed life, to this life change, we need to be sober-minded. And isn't it amazing that the one who is writing this to us is perhaps the most impulsive among the disciples? You know what, Peter, the interesting thing about this book, 1 Peter, of course, it's written by Peter, all right? Peter was a very impulsive person. And this guy was not the role model for sober-mindedness. And yet, we see here being reminded for us, he reminds us that we should be sober-minded, that we should be clear-headed, that we should let our emotions get the better of us, that we should decide things, that we shouldn't just go with the flow lang. We shouldn't act first and think later, but we should think things through. And I believe that Peter is writing this because he knows his mistakes. He knows of the things he's done in the past. Now, man, we should be sober-minded. So tell your seatmate again, be sober-minded. Secondly, life change is a change in lifestyle. We talked about the mind starts with the mind. But life change from the mind, since your thinking would determine your attitudes, the way you conduct your life. Life change also is a change in lifestyle. From the mind, now we talk about your lifestyle, how you live your life. Because how you think will affect how we live our lives. And of course, it only naturally follows that there's going to be a change in lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 there says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also must be holy in all your conduct. You also must be holy. The logic here is simple. The Bible tells us that we are children, God's children. If you are here, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus. You are a child of God. And since the one who called you, your Father, your Heavenly Father is holy, it only naturally follows that ang anak po, the children of God, are also holy. We are holy because God is holy. Tell your seatmate, you are holy. You are holy as long as you are a child of God, as long as you are a believer of God, of Jesus, you are holy as well. Not by any works that we've earned that merit, but because of God, because of what Jesus did for us. We are holy because God is holy, being a student holy. So that being said, our lifestyle, we should pursue a lifestyle of holiness. We should walk in holiness. For us to have a better grasp of that, what does holy mean? Okay, or what does being holy mean? Holiness or being holy simply means being set apart or to be different. Tell your seatmate, set apart. Set apart or different. In other words, when we say you are to walk in holiness, you are to walk differently. Your life is set apart differently from the other people. Now, I say differently, not weird, okay? That's a problem with some Christians. That's our problem, some of us. Sometimes we act too weird. Kaya nga, some people, tingnan sa, yan, hindi mo Christiano din. But I say differently, okay? Not weird, differently, and set apart. Now, what does it mean when we say we are to walk in holiness, meaning we are to walk differently from others? Well, simply, firstly, when we say holiness, it means we think differently from the world. We have a different perspective. If for the world, for the rest of the world, for the rest of society, this is what they feel is okay, this is their standard. For us, it's different. We have the Bible as our standard. Our sense of morality is different. We think differently compared to whatever the world thinks. There's a difference. But it's okay in the world may not necessarily be okay with us. And we think differently. Secondly, we live a higher standard of living. Our standard is the Word of God. Thirdly, We ought to be the salt and light of the world. We are to be the blessing and not a burden to people. We are to be the salt and light of the world. We are to go out there and spread and show the love of God to other people. The way we live our lives is not to earn selfish gain. We live our lives, we live in holiness so that we can show more of God's glory to people. And by doing so, we also show more of God's love to people. And by doing so, again, more people will have an encounter with God. More people will get to see God, will see God move in their lives through our lives. And that is why we need to walk in holiness. But of course, firstly, because we walk in holiness simply because God is holy. It's kind of like, let's say you are a doctor. Example lang ha. Let's say you are a doctor, but you don't practice your medical profession naman. Or a better example would be, let's say, for example, you claim to live a healthy lifestyle. Anyone here, you're all for jogging early in the morning, like Pastor Kin, play kilometers yung ginalaga nimo? 20? MWF? 20, 30 kilometers? Grabe, no? Anyone here, yana mo, you're all for jogging, diet, gym, you know, or someday, magkakalanin nyo na. Kasi no, by faith, okay? But anyway, let's say you're someone who claims to, or you have a friend who claims na, bro, healthy lifestyle na ako karon, diet na ako karon. But even though yun siya nga, diet na siya, every now and then, makita niya, may nga naman si Gletchon, ginakaon niya. Healthy lifestyle siya, pero kung mwado siya gym, like once a year naman yata. Kung mag-jogging kay, kung feel lang mo jog. Or maybe you have friends like that, grabe itong mga katawa, grabe yun. Now see, if someone tells you that, man, healthy lifestyle na ako karon, but you see it in their lives na it doesn't add up. Would you believe them that they are pursuing a healthy lifestyle? No, diba? Of course not. We most likely would not believe them. Dito mo to nila. Why? It doesn't add up. The same thing with us. If we claim that we had this encounter with Jesus, if we claim to follow Jesus, to walk in Christ, if we claim to love God and worship God, then we are to walk and live in holiness. It has to be backed up by our lifestyle. The Bible says, faith without action is dead, or faith without works is dead. It isn't enough to claim, I believe in God naman, toko ni Lord. But if it can't be seen in your life, if people can't see your claim that you are a believer of God, then there's something wrong right there. It has to be backed up by our claim. And the way to do that is to live in holiness. Tell your seatmate to live in holiness. Before we are called elsewhere, we are first called to live a pure and holy life. Okay, we are called to live a pure and holy life. It isn't enough to say you have faith, but we have to live a holy life as well. We need to act out our faith. We need to live out this faith, this claim, this proclamation that, man, I believe in Jesus. We are to live a holy life. And the last point I want to share for all of us here today, life change is a result of God's grace. A result of God's grace. Ultimately, at the end of it all, this life change, now that we are in Christ, as long as you walk with Jesus throughout the rest of your life, this life change is a product, a result of the grace of God. It is a result of our encounters with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19 says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We have been ransomed by Christ. The reason why we've had that life change, we have this new life in Christ in the first place, is because of Jesus. And throughout the rest of our lives, throughout the rest of this new life, whatever change we will have for the better, whatever kind of change that we want to happen, whatever renewing of our minds, the more we walk in holiness, all those things are only possible in Christ. Only possible in Christ. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How do we have our minds renewed if life change is about our minds, the disposition of our minds? We have to have the right kind of truth. And Jesus is the truth. How do we live a pure and holy life? Jesus said, I am the way and I am the life. All of this is only possible in Christ. In other words, life change is possible through encounters with Christ. Tell your seatmate, encounters with Christ. Kaya nga importante ang spiritual disciplines na to. The more we read our Bibles, the more we pray, we worship, the more we have fresh encounters with Christ, and the more we do so, the more the things in us change. The more we change, the more we have this encounter with Jesus. Look at all those biblical characters, whom they were before and after. They changed because of an encounter with Jesus. The Apostle Paul, persecutor. Before that, his name was Saul. He persecuted people, sent Christians to their deaths or to imprisonment. On his way to imprison more people, but on his way, he had an encounter with Jesus. In a vision, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he was radically changed. So many other people in the Bible. Peter, of course, is one. From the timid, fearful Peter, he became someone who preached boldly in front of thousands of people. He preached the gospel in front of thousands of people. And how? Through God, through Christ again. The same thing with us here today. If there's something in that you want to change, or maybe there's some things in us that we are unaware that needs to be changed, an encounter with Christ changes it. Someone once told me that having an encounter with Christ is like getting hit by a truck. You are never the same. If you get hit by a truck, you get the same. The same thing. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you will never be the same. The more you have that encounter, you'll not be the same. You will have those changes. And isn't it good news for all of us here today? Maybe some of us here, you've tried, you know, so many things. Maybe you've given up trying to change yourself. Maybe you've given up changing certain aspects in your life. Tom, I've tried years trying to change this part of my life. But somehow, it's just the same. Somehow, I fall back to the same old sins. Somehow, I fall back to the same old mistakes. The same old bad habits. Maybe I'm just really like this. And the good news for us is, change is possible in Christ. When we have an encounter in Christ, when we let Christ change us, we will have that kind of life change. And again, change is a process. If you've been fighting it, you've wanted to change for so long and still there, don't give up. No one ever said change will just happen overnight naman. Change is possible in Christ. To wrap everything up, let me just say this. If we are to have life change, then that life change is only possible in Christ. That is good news for us, that the pressure is not for us to force ourselves to change, but that we get transformed and we get life changed when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ.